Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. We have a double program tonight. It's going to be amazing. I'm starting with a regular show to get an overview of what has been happening in the Ukraine situation right now. And then in 6 hours from now, at 1 a.m. Eastern Time, Coach Red Pill will be carpet bombed live on the show. Coach Red Pill will be calling us on the phone. Presumably, I guess there might be some bombardment as he calls. And he is right below the locations that are targeted for the bombings. And so we're going to have the live explosion of Coach Red Pill. Of course, I'm kidding, but he's in Kiev. And he experiences the situation from a first-person perspective. So I said, Coach, could you come on the show? I will do anything, any hour that you can do. And he said, 8 a.m. 1 a.m. Eastern time is something I can do. And so we'll have a show at 1 a.m. Eastern time, 6 hours from now. Important developments today in the conflict. It is escalating extremely quickly. Russia is continuing to be headed toward Kiev, but is facing hard resistance. Now, there are different views on this. Coach Red Pill on this says that's because Russia is not even sending its top-tier army. Russia is merely sending its younger tier army men and also its outdated equipment. And so the forces that we're seeing right now advancing with some pain is due to the fact that it's not top-level military. It is not even the most that Russia is capable of doing. Fadam says, how much do we have to super chat to bombard CRP's exact coordinates? For $75. No, I'm sure CRP will be safe. But yeah, there used to be a... wasn't it on one of my streams where someone sent a $100 for me to stop the show with Coach Red Pill? And he sent the money and I said, Coach Red Pill, I'm sorry, you have to go. That was an hilarious time. Russian Central Bank has announced that it will block foreign clients' bids to sell Russian securities. In other words, if you are outside of... Russia is making sanctions against potential private owners and institutional owners of Russian assets. And so anything that you owned, if you are outside of Russia, you're not a citizen of Russia, anything that you own from Russia's central bank, stocks, all sorts of guarantees and assets, is now worth nothing. Russia is just not going to allow you to sell them, so it's just paper. That is a stunning and important news because it means that Russia can not only be the victim of sanctions, it can also have its own sanctions. And there are going to be people punished by this. Before we review all the videos of today, I would like to come back to a book that I've translated. It's still not available in English for the public, but I wanted to give you a short segment of it. It's called History of the Coming Century by Philippe Fabry, Histoire du siècle à venir. And on Gab, I showed a part that I had translated myself because I did this as a contract worker. Someone from the show, an audience member, wanted to pay me to translate this book. So Philippe Fabry is trying to predict the future history of the world, and he's exploring the hypothesis that the American Empire is the equivalent of the Roman Empire, and that Russia is the equivalent of Carthage and Macedonia. and that Greece is the equivalent of Europe. In 146 BC, the Roman Empire crushes Macedonia and Carthage, and as a result, Greece becomes a subordinated province of the Roman Empire. Philip Fabry thinks the same is going to happen in a conflict between the U.S. and America and Russia. He says, in the hypothesis of a total war or something close to it, America could not lose. Its military forces are way too strong compared to those of Russia, and it can count on stronger support in Europe than Putin can. An American victory in such a war would result in the definitive vassalization of Europe and the definitive crushing of Russia, which could, given the inviolability of the territory of Russia due to nuclear capacities, take the form of an overthrow of the regime of Vladimir Putin and a pact between Americans and the Russian oligarchy, preserving the fortune of the latter in exchange for its subordination. Such a scenario would no doubt be very painful for Europe, which would have to go through its most difficult internal struggles since 1945, and would definitely lose the relative independence that it has been successful up to now at preserving with respect to the United States. This would constitute a repeat of the events of 146 BC, the conversion of Greece into a province and the destruction of Carthage and Macedonia. So from the perspective of Philip Fabry, a total conflict between the U.S. and Russia would result in there being no more alternative. I mean, America would be the superpower, having triumph on any possible enemy. And therefore, America would dominate so much that Europe would become subordinated even more than it is now. To America. It's important to reflect about these things, because it seems that we are increasingly building up, at least if not a war between the US and Russia, a cold war of sorts. And what we see in the media are the warmongering capabilities of the media, the government. All of the events taken together seem to be pushing people toward wanting a war with Russia. Philosoraptor sends a super chat. He says, can 1984 become a reality? Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's already a reality. We have the unpersoned aspect, the depersonification aspect of 1984. In our social media censorship, we have the censorship and the Ministry of Truth in the policies of misinformation. So what's left for you to declare we are in 1984? I don't know. I think we're pretty much there. And you can see the whole rooting for Ukraine that's happening on Twitter right now. And I see the same phenomena that is described in the book and the movie 1984 in terms of warmongering, control of the information, misinformation defined as truth. It's pretty much already there. That being said, I think it's going to get worse. I think when you see the final stage of the totalitarian empire of America will be absolutely crushing for individual liberty. I want to get to the videos, but I'm going to go take my allergy pills because I'm feeling my nose is starting to feel bad. I'll be back in 5 seconds. All right. DK Shadow says, JF has to powder his nose. Well, no. I don't sniff my allergy pills. All right. Oh, my God. I'm almost having difficulty breathing because of inflammation of the nose. Because when you speak in a microphone, your only option for breathing is your nose. So if you lose your nose, you're stuck with having to deliver so much expiration through the mouth and then trying to breathe in also to the mouth. It is not easy. So when an allergy is truly an incapacitating disease for a talk show host. All right. Satellite imagery taken on shows. Taken shows a large deployment of Russian ground forces, including tanks, moving in the direction of Kyiv from approximately 40 miles, 64 kilometers away, a private U.S. company says. That is from earlier today. And so it seems that the massive convoy of armor, trucks of all kinds, is headed to Kyiv. And so we've not seen yet the most forces that we will see in terms of ability to fight mechanical warfare on the ground. It has just begun. They're going to have to face a much harsher penetration once this convoy gets in, if it does get in, because now we have a lot of countries. NATO countries are trying to play kind of a passive-aggressive game where they're not intervening in Ukraine, but they are doing everything but intervening with physical soldiers. There's been promises of jets being delivered within the hour to Ukraine. Now, how do you deliver a jet? Do you get the Ukrainian driver to drive the pilot to drive the jet? Or will these jets be sent simply to the western parts of Ukraine? There are also a lot of armaments and defensive gears, defensive armament, anti-tank missiles and javelins, defense systems, air, anti-air defense systems. All of this is being promised by European countries, but the question is, can Vladimir Putin execute his full siege of Kyiv before these things get in? Because if he can, then these things will only serve in further defense of the western parts of Ukraine. So it's a really short on time issue here, which is why I think that the peace discussion that will happen tomorrow morning are mostly bullshit. It's all meant to delay the installation of Putin around Kyiv with the hope that somehow these jet fighters might come in and be able to bombard the convoy and make it less of a threat. I think that the peace discussions will not result in anything. They are only meant to delay, and Putin has to be extremely careful and extremely swift in his reactions here. Because if these deliveries of material and help to Ukraine are effective, he's going to face a much harsher resistance. So he somehow has to complete his objectives, probably tonight, tomorrow, last chance, because or else the resistance will build up in a way that will become increasingly unmanageable. But he certainly knows this, I would suppose. Philosoraptor says, in 1984, Winston was monitored in his apartment at all times. He was writing his diary from an unmonitored blind spot he found in a corner of the room. I don't think we're there yet. Do you think the world can become a literal 1984 as described in the book with all its nuances? You don't think we're there yet? Have you ever done something against the system? Have you ever done something against the law? Because if you ever do that kind of thing, you will realize that these blind spots already exist. You will realize that people who have criminal lives or who are solid dissidents basically have to act in the exact way you describe. They have to stay far from cell phones. They have to not be detected by Starlink systems in the cars they drive. They have to be careful with microphones, with what they do on the internet. So they have to stay away from computers, or if they do, they have to use blind spots like onion routing and other techniques. as far as I'm concerned, every single aspect of 1984 has basically been implemented either equally or worse in our society. I don't see what's missing. We have videos emerging of certain tanks from the Russian army being in difficulty, some of them being abandoned. Here, a tank on the side of the road seems to be... seems to have been attacked and perhaps derailed from the road, and now they are gathering some of the bullets. So there is a lot of what is being posted in the social media that seems to be presented as, oh, Ukraine is winning. But what we are seeing are handful of trucks and tanks that seem derouted. Other than this, we're seeing for now a 5 kilometer long convoy of tanks and trucks. It's going to take more than a couple of them being disabled to really count as a significant advancement for Ukraine. So I would be careful at interpreting those single events. There are some tanks that are getting roasted. Clearly, some tanks are getting roasted by some sort of anti-tank defenses. But the general situation is that Kyiv seems to be under siege already, or the siege will be completed very soon, if it's not already fully effective. More missiles launched from Mosir after midnight, so that's from northern, I believe it's in Belarus. In any case, it's on the north side of Ukraine. And someone is filming the launch sites, so we can see these missiles headed toward the direction headed toward the direction of Ukraine. So it seems that some of these missiles are intercepted by some sort of defense systems. Others are making their way through. Today during the day, Ukraine has announced that at least one missile had been fully intercepted in the coming from the direction of Belarus. This is presented as Ukrainian military destroyed Russian military column near Makariv, Kyiv region. I don't know to what extent this is as described, but what we see, as far as the video informs us, what we see is there's been some kind of explosion. It could be some fuel, some explosive taking fire from the convoy or from some other facility. All right, so but it's presented as Ukraine succeeding at neutralizing parts of the convoy. Meanwhile, there are videos emerging. One that I see here, I will not show the video, but it was sent to me at the beginning of the show by an audience member who wanted me to review it. It seems that there are clashes where what appears to be regular citizens are getting shot. Here this is presented as Ukraine officials or Ukraine armed citizenry shooting a random person, a citizen, probably under the pretense that he's identified as Russian or a saboteur. There's been a lot of push on this concept of that we are killing saboteurs in Kyiv. But to what extent are we talking about true saboteurs? To what extent are these people not being just discriminated against because they are Russian, maybe? That is starting to worry me. Because what is being presented and cheered on by people, by pro-Ukraine people on Twitter, could very well be discriminatory and genocidal. And we have them repeating this every day, again and again. We're killing saboteurs. We've been successful at identifying saboteurs. Well, what is the due process here to identify these people as saboteurs? Airstrike being carried out by Russian Air Force, targeting a bridge on Oskil River in Kupiansk, Kharkiv Oblast. So apparently this would be the Russian Air Force destroying a bridge. Well, I don't know why they would destroy that bridge. It's a bridge pretty much in the eastern part of Ukraine. So why would they not leave it there for further carrying of stuff? But perhaps they are strategically destroying that bridge so that certain forces from Ukraine cannot get access to the Russia border, or perhaps some of the areas under control in the east of Ukraine. There is this film which has been a big mystery. It's been a big mystery about what is being illustrated here and whether it's genuine. But I want to show you the video and then I'll talk to you about the hypothesis of what's happening in there. Something massive just exploded in Cherkasy Oblast, Ukraine. So the explosion that we see is massive. You can see the shock wave getting extremely high. So just playing it again. Now, this video has emerged today. And some people were... Oblast, by the way, is a term in Ukrainian. It just means a kind of province. It's not in reference to the fact that there's a bomb blast there. So people have been pointing out, well, this is very large diameter, although not nuclear level, certainly close to a tactical nuke. So people have been raising the possibility that it could be a father of all bomb, but it seems that even a father of all bomb doesn't blow as much as this. So people have pointed out that in this area there are fertilizer plants and ammo depots. So it could be fertilizer plants or ammo depot being targeted by the Russian forces. But that being said, the satellite imaging of this area seems to reveal that this explosion wouldn't have happened today. It would have happened 2 days ago or 3 days ago at the beginning of the conflict. Because there is a heat signature that rises then, not now. So what are the hypotheses? Well, someone kept this video for 3 days and was only able to upload it now. That's perhaps the best explanation. Other explanation that is that the heat signature is not related to an explosion, and perhaps this is all a scam. In any case, based on the heat signature, something happened at this particular region 2 or 3 days ago, and it was never talked about in the media, and we And this may be a video illustration of what went on then. By the way, join me on Entropy. Entropy is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me your questions and super chats tonight, or you can use the support button if you are logged in on Odyssey. Don't forget to create an account on Odyssey. Very important to support the show with super chats. The credit card and USD super chats are enabled. Will Russia win? This is the question of the survey tonight. Because there is a lot of rooting for Ukraine. There is a lot of small news and specific events that people interpret as, yeah, we're winning. But in the end, let's not forget that we haven't seen the full force of Russia. What is probably happening here is what Coach Red Pill has been hypothesizing, which is that Putin is only using his second-tier material and second-tier army men, and he's just testing the defenses of Kiev and seeing to what extent he will face resistance, and then he's going to send the real deal if that doesn't work. Go away, says JF, makes sense. Some dude called Kevin just posted his video of the second plane hitting on 9/11 over 20 years after the event, one of the most clear videos of the second tower hit too. Okay, so it happens. There are videos out there that are not making their way through to social media immediately. Meanwhile, the Ukraine forces are targeting some of the material from the Russian army. This seems to be a targeting by a drone operated from the Ukraine air defense systems. The Ukrainian Air Force has released additional footage of their Turkish-made TB2 drones striking the Russian occupation forces. So you will see they are targeting a missile to this guy here, and it's going to blow very hard. The guys are seeing this on a computer, and they're discussing super relaxed. They're like in their lounge, controlling this drone. Now, let's look at it again. It appears that the missile blast perhaps some other explosives that may be present in this truck, which makes the explosion even worse, perhaps. I'm not sure. Wow. These people are taking the keyboard warrior meme to another extreme. As Russian troops draw closer to the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv's mayor is both filled with pride over his citizen spirit and anxious about how long they can hold out. Right now we are encircled, he told the AP, but full of fight. So he was saying that there is no possibility to evacuate citizens from Kyiv right now because the Russian forces have effectively encircled Kyiv. But then his spokesperson said, oh, that was an error. We are not encircled. So I don't know what we should believe. The spontaneous statement that he said or the correction afterward. Oh, I got it wrong. I misspoke. I think that whether you want to say that the siege of Kyiv is accomplished and fully blocked or that it's in realization, in any case, there are no way out for citizens unless there is some kind of deal between the Russian army and the Ukrainian. But here's the thing, I don't think we will see such a deal because as was described by Coach Red Pill and as I've hypothesized, the Ukrainian army has chosen as a strategy to be taking their own citizens hostage. They could very well tomorrow at the delegation with Russia They will meet at the border of Belarus and Ukraine. They could very well say, can we make a deal? Can we make a free path for all non-military citizens of Kyiv to be leaving the place? And I'm sure Russia would say yes to this. In fact, I think it would be extremely intelligent of Putin to put that offer on the table, to say, hey, I'm offering something here. We will do a 5-day, we will be holding the peace for 5 days, ceasefire. We give you the chance to get your buses in. You take all of the citizens you want to take out of Kyiv. And then it's going to be a military party, military against military. If he was to do this, at least he would put it, he would put the burden of the victimization of citizens on the shoulders of the Ukrainian government. I don't know if Putin cares about this. I don't know at this point if he cares about making this look like not too much of a hit on citizens, but it would certainly make it clear that it is Zelensky in the end who chose to victimize his own citizenry. Evropa Aesthetica sends a super chat. Thank you for supporting the show. He says, one of the best things this conflict will produce are new financial means for Western dissidents to conduct transactions that Western institutions can't cancel. We will benefit from Russia's extreme sanctions. Another bonus is the obvious decline of the hegemony of liberalism. I agree with you. You are totally correct. The more there can be people canceled, and at this point, they're essentially applying cancel culture to the concept of an entire country. And even going after Russian billionaires who may be living outside of Russia, who may have nothing to do with Putin's decision here, and they're going to punish all these people. Now, that's a couple dozen million people joining the cancel culture club. And you have to love it in a way. You have to say, well, you know, either they're going to adopt Bitcoin or they're going to create something better than Bitcoin. But in any case, it will be great for the people who have been excluded from Western civilization, definitely. A Russian armored vehicle reportedly fell into a river near Hadyak. So that's, you can see the tank totally below water. Oh my God, that is such a waste of resources. But, you know, this is the kind of image that that the pro-Ukrainian Twitterers are gloating about. Ha ha ha, they're spending their days laughing at this. But I don't think I think they should pay attention to the bigger forces that are coming in the way of Kyiv, not just the single tanks that get destroyed like this. Now, this is another one that is extremely celebrated by the pro-Ukrainian cheerers. A full destruction of a part of a convoy, at least 3-4 tanks, from what we can see on the video, including fuel trucks and various vehicles. So I will not show too much close-ups because there are dead bodies in this image in the video later. But we can see they are effective at defending with the javelins. They will just roast a complete tank in a single shot. Quite impressive. Mayor of Kyiv, Klitschko, reports that Kyiv is now surrounded, making further evacuation of civilians impossible. That was an earlier coverage of it. And then, I don't have it, but somewhere else the spokesperson steps back on this declaration and says, no, we're not encircled. Those are the Chechen soldiers joining the Russian army. So the Chechens have been given decks of cards with the images of the officials of the Ukraine government that they had to hunt. So they are being sent as hunters. And despite reports from during the day and starting yesterday, There were reports that the Chechen convoy had been totally abolished. Well, it seems that there are pretty healthy Chechens left in the armed forces. They don't seem to have been stricken by a drone. They seem to be still in good health. I really like the wholesome aspect of these guys. They, with their beard, they seem more natural. I like, they seem more in relation with the forest directly, you know.
Yo! Assalamu alaikum. Ali, Ibrahim, Muhammad, Rahman, her bilu.
White Muslims, people are saying, yes, I believe, well, I mean, white, Eastern, of course, in their genetics, but yes. To a certain extent, they are some of the whitest Muslims out there. Go Away says, what is the vaccination rate of Ukraine? I'm worried that the unrest will mean there won't be enough access to ICU beds for COVID patients. Putin could be about to massacre Ukrainian citizens without firing a single shot. I hadn't realized. What is the vaccination rate of Ukraine? Is this a war of the unvaxxed, or a war of the vaxxed? It's hard to say from... This is not data about vaccination. 18% of the adult population of Ukraine had been vaccinated against COVID on September 2021. So, to answer your question, on January 2022, the Ministry of Health announced that 44.9% of the adult population had undergone a full course of vaccination. So it seems that at least for those people who are leaving Ukraine, the refugees of Ukraine, we will be welcoming a largely unvaxxed population in certain countries of Europe. Tuttle Grimm sends a super chat. He says, did you ever watch slash review the film Wag the Dog? No, but I'm ready to watch it. I'm prepared to watch it and everything. But me and Mama JF, every time we come to it, we're like, do we really want to watch this crappy movie? And it's like, no, let's do it another night. But I'll get to it. I'll get to it because I'm ready to watch. But somehow I miss the I miss the motivation. It seems like a crappy, worthless movie. Putin's nuclear alert due to failure to intimidate Zelensky and the West. So today there were lots of talks, lots of threat of nuclear, starting with Putin, who told his government and his army to prepare to be on alert and on tactical alert as far as it relates to the deterrence force. So that means the missiles that are meant to send to other countries to intimidate them if they try to attack Russia or to keep them from attacking Russia. So he has put his deterrence force on high alert. And is that an empty threat or is that serious? I have no idea. Could mean anything. Could mean that he's truly preparing a nuclear strike. Let's be clear here. The NATO countries are acting in a very passive-aggressive manner with respect to this war. They are sending help to Ukraine in a kind of covert way. And instead of coming out in the press and saying Germany will fight with Ukraine, they're more subtle. They're like, Germany will send fighter jets through NATO and the EU funds for blah blah blah, but in the end it's the West helping the Ukraine. In the end it's Russian lives being lost at the ends of the weapons of the West. So I don't know how Putin will react to this. The fact that it's so covert and so passive aggressive, will he just say, all right, this is the West attacking me, so I'm going to treat it as such, or will he kind of accept that the covert contribution is coming, but he has plans on the other hand to make it ineffective? If Putin can have sufficient control of the ground areas that he cares about in Ukraine, and if they can't receive deliveries, it's not a big problem for Putin if the western flank of Ukraine gets too heavily harmed. Because Putin will stop at some point and will say, all right, let's negotiate peace. And at what is that point? That is the question. Will Putin want half of Ukraine, including Kiev? Or is the Kiev assault even perhaps just a diversion? It could very well be that he's not interested in Kiev, and he may not even be interested in regime change. Perhaps all of this is a diversion aimed at conquering the true part of the territory that he's interested in, which would be the land bridge, the south shore of Ukraine. And it could very well happen that in 10 days from now, all forces withdraw from the north, Ukraine takes back control of the north and is left unmolested in the north, but has lost its southern border. That can happen. It depends on how stubborn Putin wants to be with his stated project, because this mission is stated as a special operation in Donbass. Is that the goal of the mission? Securing the two independent republics and maybe a land bridge to Crimea? Or is the further goal of making Ukraine a buffer zone, a neutral country? If that is the goal truly, then Putin will have to continue the assault. And then Putin needs to start thinking about, how will I handle the support and reinforcement that Ukraine is receiving from the NATO countries? Meanwhile, Belarus makes a very aggressive move. The president of Belarus declared a flash referendum to determine if constitutional changes would be made today, and he won. Because, well, of course, people say, you know, in Belarus, the voting is all controlled by him, so people will vote whatever he asks for. But 65% of those who took part in the vote were in favor of the measure. Belarus will allow nuclear missiles on its soil. Now, the way it was presented is, he said, you know, we're receiving threats from all these countries. We have voluntarily given our nuclear missiles to Russia. We would want to have them back. We would want to ask Russia, hey, can you send us back our nuclear missiles? Because now we're getting threatened a lot and we'd like to have them. Now, that's how he presented it. But in the end, it may just be that by making this constitutional switch, Russia will be able to use Belarus as a proxy to launch nuclear strikes, potentially to other countries or into Ukraine, who knows. But this is a news that will alarm a lot of people, and that should alarm a lot of people, because Belarus is extremely close to, you know, it's totally feasible to strike any city of Ukraine and many cities of Europe through Belarus. The biggest plane in the world, Myriad Dream, was destroyed by Russian occupants on an airfield near Kyiv. We will rebuild the plane. We will fulfill our dream. So this apparently was either the biggest or one of the biggest planes in the world. It was in a hangar and it got put on fire. It got bombarded. The damage is probably maximal. So this big plane just disappeared. Dead Ribbit says, how does that logic work? If there's a guy on the other side of the world with a nuke, you don't shut down your own economy, even if the danger actually is bigger than some pandemic, which we probably shouldn't have shut down the economy for either. False equivalence. Okay, people are discussing the the reaction to COVID versus the reaction to Putin. Interesting point of parallel. Stephen Robinson is on entropy. He says, JF, this is a funny one to take the edge off from this serious coverage.
But we know that there are ways to sanction Putin.
This is confusing. TikTok videos, I mean. You have to be careful, Stephen Robinson. You're sending me this this TikTok video. I'm not a Zoomer, okay? It's kind of shocking to me, the interface. Okay, let's try playing the video, which you say is funny.
But we know that there are ways to sanction Putin.
Are you kidding me right now?
Fucking kidding me.
Fucking kidding me.
Sanction Putin. Putin is pretty much on my mind as a Quebecois. There's even a restaurant in Quebec that has announced that they would rename the poutine because they don't want it to be associated with Putin. They would rename it cheese, fries, and gravy. That is absolutely ridiculous. Other restaurants will not follow suit on this. The word poutine is totally part of the Quebec heritage, and we will not get rid of it for that. Europa Aesthetica says, let us know when Odyssey launches the monthly subscription function. I will switch from YouTube to Odyssey. Well, you can. I believe it's already up. I think you have to navigate to my link when I'm not live. Like in 5 hours from now, while I'm not live, you navigate to my link and I think you see the option of subscription for monthly thing. Make sure you do, if you do want to benefit from the every month reminder of the private hangout, make sure you send me a Discord DM with your email or something so that I can keep you up to date about it. New Ukrainian-Russian war footage. So this is a soldier that was just walking in the streets of Ukraine and he sees a missile.
I believe that Russia has declared war on Ukraine. That as soon as the declaration...
Oh, fuck! That's a missile! That's a missile! That's a fucking missile!
That was one of those like...
Holy shit!
Missiles. Jesus Christ.
All right, we've got to fucking get inside. I can't fucking believe...
This guy realized as a soldier that he was now in a war. Saboteurs shot in Harvdiskie in Dnipro region. So that's a picture. I will not show the pictures of bodies, but there are pictures of bodies. And again, this is worrying to me. To what extent are these saboteurs, or to what extent are these people just being killed because they are ethnically Russian? What is your intelligence service that identifies the act of sabotage that have been committed? It seems to me that there is ground here for international concern, and that instead of just saying Putin is wrong, is evil, we should start thinking, is there currently a genocide against the ethnic Russians in certain regions controlled by the Ukrainian so-called army, which includes now basically all male citizens between 18 and 60 years old. Grad launch toward Mariupol. So there's been lots of progress in the progression of the forces of Putin in the south. And the southern border is increasingly controlled by Putin. We are even hearing reports from administration of cities where they say, you know, we were just working in the city hall and the Russian army comes in and they say we're taking control of everything. And it seems that the Russian army has been very respectful. They've been telling the city hall administrators, you know, you can keep working. We're just going to be here and we're we're taking control of your city, but you can keep doing your work. Certain administrators have reported that they felt uneasy about this. So they went home. They said, no, we're not going to keep working. We're just leaving you the place. And they abandoned their city halls. So there are cities under control in the south, fully under control of the Russian army right now. This is reported as being launches of, I don't know what we call these, missiles, artillery. They call it a Grad launch, Grad. So, so this seems to be in proximity to Mariupol that was earlier, about 16 hours ago, I believe. You can see here the effect of the anti-tank defense of the Ukrainian army. Here a tank is completely roasting.
Новая Каховка, 3 часа дня. Русские сосать, блядь. Пидорасы, вам тут всем пизда будет, нахуй. Уёбки ебучие. Вы сдохнете все до единого на нашей земле.
I mean, look at this. The whole inside. The whole inside of the tank is on fire. It's like burning from inside. Absolutely vicious defenses. Fedozoraptor says, did you watch Peter Schiff versus... How is there a fly when it's like minus 40 in here? Like, I don't know if you guys realize, but it's extremely cold in here in the studio. Because I don't heat the studio. I live in the studio at the temperature of the outside. And it's like... Outside, it's like minus 35 Celsius. And here, well, here it gets some of the heat from the inside and from the studio material. But, like, I'm probably below zero still. How is there a fly living here at below zero? The fly should be freezing. And in any case, Fiddlesoraptor says, did you watch Peter Schiff... did you watch Peter Schiff versus Richard Hart? I know you like Richard, but he looked like a slimy salesman the entire debate with his chart. Oh, people are calling bullshit on me because we do not see your breath. Well, okay, I'll get a thermometer in and I'll see if that's bullshit. But we're certainly in the area of fridge to freezer temperatures. I don't know exactly what is the temperature. We're certainly very, very cold here in the studio. But I enjoy this. Justet says, you're definitely not below 0 degrees Celsius in there, otherwise we'd see your breath. I think you're taking a lot for granted in saying this. I don't know that we see breath all the time here. With a very dry environment, you know, the heat comes from the body and unleashes as I expel it. I don't think you would necessarily see my breath at 0 degrees Celsius. There is some temperature at which you would see it, but I don't think it's at zero that this happens. So no, I didn't watch the Richard Hart debate. Do I have interest in watching it, really? It's like, you're going to have to annoy me with the link. Why don't you send me a DM on Discord with a link of a video that I can watch without subscribing to a crappy service? Like, I'm not going to watch a debate that requires me to subscribe to a special service for that debate. So how about you find a link like this and I will watch this debate? I'm not super interested, to be honest. I don't quite give a shit. Crypto will rise. Crypto will rise no matter what you say. no matter what Richard Hart say, no matter what Peter Schiff says. So it's like, of course, as a man of blood sports, there's kind of an intellectual question there about whether, you know, the Bitcoin community hasn't been much, the crypto community at large hasn't been much involved in debating. And so it's interesting to see what are the arguments that Richard will be successful at pulling. But in the end, I don't care. I'm not emotional about it, and I'm not excited about it, because I know what are the arguments, and it boils down to this. The future ecology of humanity. Is it practical to be carrying around kilograms of gold around to represent your wealth, or is that even unfeasible in some future state of humanity? I mean, consider the possibilities of nuclear war, of having to survive and protect yourself from your own government. I wouldn't want to be stuck with gold in an anarcho-primitivist society. And still, I can imagine a kind of future that is quite anarchic, but where some kind of internet survive with some kind of blockchain. Other pictures from certain bombardment events that have been happening. The Russians have been efficient at bombarding certain infrastructure. We've seen buildings on fire. We've seen a gas pipeline being obliterated. So, but those are hard to identify in terms of where exactly they come from and what was being stricken. Philosoraptor says, thanks for the great show tonight. He sends 10 LBC. Thank you so much for the support. Meanwhile, there's one of these Twitter trends that are trending right now, but it's one of these Twitter trends that people just make it trend to complain against it. So it's the hashtag abolish NATO. Hashtag abolish NATO? How about no? You're basically showing you're pro-Russia by saying this bullshit. I think abolishing NATO would be a great thing. I think it would remove power. It would remove the hegemony of the American military empire over the planet. And that would be a very good thing in my view. And to me, Russia is a means to an end in this process. Russia is at least a first example of a balance of power with China, of course, staying there and being there. I think that they constitute a balance of power to this NATO alliance. I don't know if they will succeed, at being a true force of change in the world, or if they will totally get crushed by the US. We should know soon, because things are getting hot and heavy in all of this. The European countries are as close as they can to intervene. They are intervening in every possible way without clearly saying it. And we've had the European Union saying that they would join in. And so now the question arises, if the European Union becomes a force in this conflict, who is Putin responding to? Is he sending strikes in specific countries? Is he sending strikes across the EU? It's becoming very unclear with these supranational entities how even a war can unfold with Russia if that was to happen. But in any case, those are the events of today, and I have no more images to show you. I guess we can still speak a couple of minutes, but those were the news today. And so I'll be headed toward the conclusion of the show, because I also need to prepare for our discussion with Coach Red Pill, which will be in 5 hours from now, 1 a.m. Eastern time. So I hope you will be on this channel. It will be an interesting discussion straight from the inside of Kiev. I don't think I've spoken to someone in that stressful of a situation in my entire life. You know, we've been interviewing pretty much everyone from every walk of life in this world, from porn stars to porn stars that are carrying their pet lizards around, to political dissidents. But never have I spoken to someone at the heart of potentially World War III. if you want to tell me what Kiev is right now, it's the center stage of World War III. Nothing else. And Coach Red Pill is right there, chilling in a hotel. So we're going to speak to him in 5 hours from now. I will be opening a separate video. Ariel Suarez says, pet lizards, I probably misheard. No, you haven't misheard. You have to check my video called The Public Space Episode, whatever was the number of the episode, and the title was Anna Hayes Responds to 4chan. Anna Hayes was a porn actress. I mean, she, as far as I know, she may still be a porn actress. She is a porn actress who warmed the hearts of 4chan, who tried to take her as an example of a young white woman who was misled into the porn industry. And in my interview with her, to make sure that she was consenting to all this, because she was, you know, very small, very young, I was like, are you okay? Is that is everything okay in your job? Did you choose this? And she was like, I'm okay, but I'm working on getting arrangement for my support lizard, because the producer of the porn refuses that she brings her emotional support lizard onto the scenes of porn. And so she was pissed because she absolutely needed the lizard to be present. I mean, I'm telling you as I remember, because it was so unreal that I'm not sure I fully remember what she said, but basically she was trying to bring the attention of the public to the fact that she couldn't bring her lizard to her filming sessions, and that's all she wanted. She was okay getting totally her anus getting ripped by big cocks, but she wanted to have her support lizard in the process. And so I was just standing in front of the universe there, looking straight into the eyes of the physical world. And I was like, this is where we are. We are in a live show and it's happening. So Ariel Suarez, no, I'm not kidding. This actually happened. And despite this happening in my life, I still haven't spoken to someone at the heart of a capital in a world war. Go Away says, does the growing disparity in sexual activity between men and women represent an increase in the rate of evolution? if such a rate even exists, kind of equivalent to a large environmental shift that causes new selective pressures like the meteor strike and the dinosaurs. So when you talk about the growing disparity in sexual activity, I'm not sure this translates. You're talking about the modern fact that women are promiscuous and that they used to be less promiscuous. So I'm going to assume that this is what you mean, but you can specify in the entropy question section if that's correct. If that's what you mean, does it represent an increase in the rate of evolution? No, because sex-specific behaviors do not have their own rate of evolution independent of the rest. Because from the perspective of the from the perspective of the genes, you are not evolving as a woman. You are evolving as both who you are and the entirety of your ancestors and the entirety of your descendants. And because half of your ancestors were female, half were male, and half of your descendants were female and half were male, from the perspective of the individual, it doesn't matter that you are a female or that you are a male. You don't have special evolutionary interest in being a female or being a male. You are as much evolutionary responsible for the collective behavior of all of your male children if you're a female, and all of your female children if you're a male. Such that you cannot see who you are as being a matter of issue for the sexual differentiation of behavior. As a result, the genes for males actually keep evolving in lines of females, and the genes for females keep evolving in lines of males. For that reason, I think it would be extremely hard for a differential rate of evolution to be affected by a sexual frequency behavior. Now, there is something that changes in promiscuous behavior. but then you have written other things, so I will read them. He says, if women are having sex at the same rate, but men are having less sex, does that not mean that women are being more selective with their sexual partners, i.e. more selective pressure leading to a more rapid change? Well, I'm not sure that this is happening. But suppose that women they start having more sex. The question first is, are they having more babies? Because having more sex with a condom means nothing to evolution. So that's the first question. Secondly, are you sure once a woman has been promiscuous that the man isn't also getting his next woman? You know, because imagine two situations. One in which males are considered interchangeable and women just get five babies from five different fathers, and that's the norm. And then imagine what happens to the father. The father may be isolated and unreproductive after being dismissed by the first wife. That would be a case in which females make much more babies than males, because males would end up making one or zero baby. But here's the other situation that you can present. The males, after being dismissed by a female, could just move on to the next female. And so they could be as much promiscuous in a society of female promiscuity. They could be as much promiscuous as the females. So you have to sort this out before you make any claim about the differential between the sexes. That being said, suppose that we are in a society where there is simply stronger selection from the side of females. They are simply, which I think is an explanation of why the bell curve of intelligence, for example, or many other features of animals, is more enlarged in the male and more tight in the female. That's because the male has to find a risky way genetically to get into the top hierarchy so that he can get into the top 20%, so that he can get any baby, whereas the female just has to be a functional uterus. So if you're in a situation like this, which I think is what you're presenting, then you have females heavily selecting the way they do on dating websites, for example, where they will only swipe right or swipe left, whatever it is. They will only accept the male when he's in the top 10 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 in beauty. And they will dismiss all the other males. Now, What that can induce is there is more sexual selection applied on the side of males. So this actually improves the males across generations. But it doesn't improve the female. And so the differential you can get is a runaway race that develops a sexual asymmetry. So one perfect example of this is the peacock tail. So the male peacock has this giant tail, but the females don't need that tail. The females just need to be a functional egg producer. And they're the ones choosing, but they chose so harshly across the years, across the generations, that the males ended up producing bigger and bigger tails. So that kind of runaway sexual differentiation is what you will get from aggressive sexual selection practices. And generally, it is assumed because in nature, although this is questionable in humanity today, but in nature, the female has a vast amount of more investment in the child in terms of resources being dedicated, because the male only has to have the insemination event, whereas the female has to deploy the energy during the pregnancy or during the at least the egg production and the caring of the egg. There are exceptions, although, you know, the betta fish, for example, you have male caring of the eggs. But in any case, it is assumed that the female is undergoing the biggest price because she is the bottleneck of the number of babies produced into the next generation. For that reason, the rarity is on the side of the female. Because she's the bottleneck. Because the man could produce 10,000 babies in a single year. If you're a human, if you really wanted it, you could inseminate like 10,000 females in a single year. And it wouldn't cost you 10,000 more energy than any single female creating any single baby. That's where the asymmetry lies in the energy investment. A woman couldn't possibly make 10,000 babies in a year. You could. So for this reason, for this asymmetry of energy, it is generally assumed that the female has the rarity, has the bottleneck, and therefore the female is in need of advertisement. And therefore the male is in need of displaying advertisement. Now, this is one thing. This is one theory I'm developing in The Moral Signal. This is one of the most interesting chapter because I came up with this trying to explain this whole thing. And I don't think this exists. I don't think this theory exists before. I claim that bottlenecks are the source of the asymmetry of a need for advertisement. And I claim that this is true in sexual reproduction, and it's true also in the economy. So basically, if you're the one that has the leverage, the power, the rarity, the thing that the other wants, the other has the burden of publicizing their value to get that thing. And so that's why you end up in males advertising. You have this in peacock. You have this in humanity also. You know, women don't advertise anything else than their youth. All of the investment in charming and, you know, it's all of the investment that they do from makeup to just talking sensually to anything that a woman does in the charming game is all meant to say, I'm potentially a baby maker and I'm beautiful. As Royal says, it's about beauty. But what is beauty? Beauty is about youth in woman. Now, the men are the one with the Porsche. The men are the one with the money. The men are the one that can impress a female and get her to reproduce with a big house. That is the nature of advertising in human sexual reproduction. It's often falsely believed that women are the advertisers in humanity. But what's misunderstood is the accessory nature of advertisement. Like men, the things that men will advertise with are so varied and so insane. It's like they will advertise through winning fucking sports competition, down to having manly behavior with weapon, down to having this $1 million car, down to having this house and this and that. And women only have really a centered type, non-accessory type of advertising, which is, I'm beautiful. That's what they do. Which is how non-advertising side of an economic relationship works. The one that's advertising is the one who doesn't have the leverage. And that's the male in our relationships. That is it for tonight. Midnight Sun has sent a super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, hey, JF, I used to watch you all the time on the public space, but less so when you had to abide by YouTube's TOS. I much prefer your new uncensored Odyssey channel. Plus, you can have Richard on again. Absolutely. And we're going to have Richard tomorrow. So right now I'm concluding the show. I'm coming back in 5 hours from now with Coach Red Pill, straight from the inside of the Kiev war. And then 7 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow, we have Richard Spencer coming to talk about Ukraine. I hear he's some kind of a pro-Ukraine guy. It's like, Richard, do you really want that bad to be on CNN? Apparently, Richard is a full-on NATO supporter. Can't wait to speak to him tomorrow, but we'll talk to CRP before. Will Russia win? That was our question of the survey tonight. 11 people answered yes, 1 person answered no. Wow, that is a lot of confidence. Let me tell you that the Twitter cucks are not... They don't believe like you. They think Ukraine is on its way to a success, but I have to agree. I have to think that what we're seeing is not even the maximal force that Putin can deploy. It's actually a lazy force that Putin is deploying for mapping. At least I hope that he has larger plans, because he's invading, you know, a technologically advanced nation. It's not like invading a freaking backwards nation, okay? You're invading Ukraine. You're going to have to live up to Ukraine-level technology and stuff. Evropa Aestetica says, I think you missed my super chat regarding the red turtle. I certainly did. let's go back to it. He says, did you get to watch The Red Turtle, La Tortue Rouge? It's one of my favorite movies. It's per archetypical symbolism. Thus, is beautifully pronatal as a result. It's a true piece of art. Please give it a review. Absolutely, I will. It sounds interesting the way you describe it. The Red Turtle, 2016. Never heard of this. Oh, okay, it's an anime. A non-Japanese anime. That's my reaction to non-Japanese anime. And my reaction to Japanese anime is... A man is shipwrecked on a deserted island and encounters a red turtle which changes his life. Are you fucking kidding me? I shouldn't have read this description. I should do what Mama JF has been counseling me to do, which is not read the description of movies. Because, see, I was kind of enthusiast. But now... It's a discussion with a turtle? Okay, I'll do it. I'll be back in 5 hours. Don't miss the CRP show. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.